On the October 23rd edition of WINA's Best Seat in the House, Jed talked with Cavalier fans about what can be gained from Virginia's win over North Carolina last Thursday. Jed and listeners share their thoughts and impressions of a team that may be on the rise.
Ray, it's a good point, because if you look at that North Carolina game, that was a finely played game by the Cavaliers, but it wasn't a perfect game. There were flaws. There were probably four or five drop passes. There were some missed assignments by the offensive line, especially in the first half, where North Carolina linebackers and defenders were running scot-free into the Cavalier backfield. And right. If those kind of things happen in a game, you know, at Florida State or against Virginia Tech, your quarterback's not going to be able to escape. He's going to be sacked in the backfield. Or if you drop a pass on a critical third down, that may be the difference in winning or losing the game. You know, Ogletree's drops, Santee's drops the other day never came back to hurt the Cavaliers, because North Carolina can't hurt you. Virginia Tech and Miami and even an NC State can make you pay for little mistakes like that that maybe you're camouflaged when you win a game 23-0.
Well, you know, against NC State, I think NC State's kind of been all across the board this year. They've lost some easy games, and then they beat Florida State. But then again, looking at Florida State, how good are they this year? So
yeah.
I think if we beat NC State this week, I mean, that's, you know, that's great incentive and, you know, to go into the last part of the season. But anyway, it's been an interesting year.
Well, and I'm you know, Joey and I talked about this before the show, Ray. It's good that there's a positive uptick or sort of sense of enthusiasm about this team, because just literally from a talk show approach, if all you're talking about is negative, 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 forlorn, team's not going anywhere, some people, a lot of people out there, not everybody, but some people will quit. They'll just jump off, and eventually the anger and the frustration and the disappointment and the resentment become apathy. And luckily now the Cavaliers have swung this pendulum in the other direction, and now there's a positive vibe to this season. And I think it gives the season, even if it doesn't give the Cavaliers a lot of wins, it gives the fan base some balance in the way they're able to feel about this season.
I think so.
Well done,
okay,
sir.
Jim.
Good to hear from you. Thank you, sir. That's Ray on
line
one. We've got more phone calls and an open phone line for you at 977-1070. Bob is with us on two. Hi, Bob.
Hey, just a quick comment and then a question.
Yes.
My comment is that I think we've got a program that is turning around, is moving forward, and I'm just hoping that the fans will have some patience and give it some more time.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to sit in the stands and listen to people booing and yelling about the coach is doing a bad job. It just really is detrimental to the program.
Agreed.
You watch some of the big-time programs, and the fans are there cheering and screaming and making a difference, and I'm afraid we don't have that kind of fan base right now.
Yeah, but, Bob, I just always ask the question about booing, what good does it serve? If it doesn't serve any good, then why do it? It's counterintuitive and it's counterproductive.
Yeah, I'd just rather the people stay home if they're going to do that.
Right. I'm with you. Absolutely.
But my question is about recruiting. I'm interested in knowing whether or not the kind of year that we're having is going to have a significant impact on some of these verbal commits that we've got. Al seems to do a great job of getting the kind of kid in here that he can build on, the 6'3", 6'4", kid with a big frame, and he can put a lot of muscle on, and they'll make a difference in the long run. Some of them will be great winners, and some of them won't be. But I'm just wondering about this year's recruiting, and if you know anything more about that.
I do, yeah. If my memory serves correctly, and I'll talk to Chris Horn from thesaber.com in the next couple of days, but Virginia has 19 or 20 verbals for the class of 2007. Nobody has decommitted at this point, which is a key thing, even though, Bob, this team has gone through some struggles and is under 500 and has gotten ripped at times in the press. Nobody has decommitted. Now, the question is, would they decommit? Even if the team didn't have a disastrous year, even if it went 5-7 and 6-6, would some of these kids jump off the bandwagon because they're under 500? Well, you never know until signing day, but nobody has jumped off the ship yet. I think the bigger concern is about some of the out-of-state kids that maybe you don't have as great a connection to. Say a kid like a Nick Jenkins from Maryland, the defensive tackle, or a wide receiver athlete like Chase Minifield, who's the top player in the state of Kentucky, an Andrew Devlin, a tight end from Pennsylvania. I think Virginia's connections and contacts and roots with the commitments in the state of Virginia are very deep. Thanks in large part to Mike London, the rest of the staff as well, but I think London has great connections with a lot of these kids. So where some people might feel concerned, I feel pretty good about the strength of the pledge of a kid like Peter Lalick or Ja'Courtney Williams, the linebacker safety from Christchurch, or Terrence Fells Danzer, a kid we had on the show, the inside linebacker prospect from Culpeper. So as of right now, Virginia's off to a great start, and that hasn't been deterred by the slow start on the field. So we'll just have to wait and see. Now, I guess I hope that answers your question to a certain degree about recruiting, and you know, I guess we'll find out down the road whether or not they're affected by that. I think, Bob, one thing you'll see with this recruiting class coming up, and even some of the kids who didn't qualify, like an Armando Sewell, who's going to come in from Hargrave Military Academy out of the 06 class, is whereas Groh has recruited for the aforementioned jumbo athlete, the 6'4", 250-pound kid that he can build up, you know, size and weight on in the past, he's recruited a lot more speed in this group. Kids like Ja'Courtney Williams and Fells Danzer and some of the red shirts they have this year, and a kid like Armando Sewell coming in, are a lot faster than some of the kids you're seeing on the field right now, especially defensively, which is the big concern about the Cavaliers. Defensively, do they have enough speed, especially in that linebacking core? I think you'll see more speed on the field in the next couple of years.
Thanks. Great show. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Bob. Good to hear from you. That's Bob on two. Let's get David on three. Squeak him in before we go to break. David, thanks for holding.
My pleasure, Jed. Hope that you're doing well.
We are. Good to hear from you, sir.
Good. Likewise. First time, long time, and really had a quick comment and then a question for you all.
Certainly.
I remarked to a friend today about how the university, for the first time in my memory, is, as a fan who's been going since the 60s, as a four-year potential starter at quarterback. And I think most recently of Philip Rivers down at NC State and the success they enjoyed with him. Sean Moore, Scott Gardner, when was the last time we had a four-year starter at quarterback?
Oh, my gosh. Can you remember that, Joey? When was the last time four-year starter at UVA at quarterback? Oh, geez.
Well, Sean Moore.
It was not Sean Moore. No, because he was a redshirt freshman who played
a little bit.
He was a three-year starter. That's right. Boy, I'm going through the 90s. It's nobody in the 90s, so it's before that. How many years did Mikowski start?
He came in midway through his second year.
So he was a two-and-a-half-year starter. David, you've done something that I think is pretty rare. You've officially stumped us. Joey's going to Google, and then I'm going to ask some guys close to the program tomorrow, and we'll dig that up, okay?
Well, I should know the answer. Like I said, I've been watching it for a while. So.
But it's an exciting thing, as you talked about likening him back to the career of Philip Rivers. And I think, you know, from a Virginia perspective, the exciting thing is I was very worried, David, early on, that this kid was getting thrown in the flames, and the flames were very hot, and they were very high. And if the team was struggling, he would have a little bit of a confidence crisis or a morale problem after his first year, because his first year on the field would be comprised largely or almost entirely of negative experiences. And now, even if Virginia doesn't finish above 500 or loses some of these games the rest of the year, Sewell has seen and enjoyed some success and some progress and has some positive feelings about himself. And I know some football tough guys out there are listening and thinking, come on now, that's cream puff kind of stuff. But no, this kid last Thursday in the Carolina game, David, turned 19 years old. That's a fragile thing when the spotlight is shining directly on you, and I'm happy that Virginia's been able to create some positive situations for Jameel Sewell so he can feel good about his first year going into the offseason.
Well, he's quite a poised young man, and I wish him nothing but the best. I'm really pleased. He's a natural athlete. And it very much shows on the football field.
Yeah, absolutely. And he plays with some composure, too. I mean, the way he's conducting himself and running that huddle, I think, sort of belies his youth.
Absolutely.
Thanks, David. Good to hear from you. Love that line, first time, long time. David might be the first guy to come on the show and say first time, long time.
I think he might have been, actually.
I think that's a trend. If anybody wants to come on and say first time, long time, you're automatically a good
friend.
We'll
put you in our next promo. We'll put you in the next open.
We'll put you in a promo, might invite you in studio, we'll crown you an automatic instant fop. 977-1070, get your calls in, get registered for the Miami tickets, which we'll give away at the end of the show, and also the Power Pack and the Weekend Pack, which you give away next week. I don't know why I'm trying to sound like Samuel L. Jackson, but...
Mr. T!
That's right. What you talking about, man? CD? We're going to break on the best seat. When we come back, a little Monday evening quarterback, Jeff White, the gadfly from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Then at 6:50, Jed's Norman, Oklahoma pilgrimage blog. Oh, boy, is my head pulsating. And we'll talk to you, more of your phone calls, 977-1070. Coming right back, this is the Monday best seat.